God is so good. Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here in person. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have those of you who are joining us online, whether you're on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube there. Be sure to do all those things there on those platforms. Welcome to those on the phone live streaming service also. If you would like that number for those who don't have internet and would like to listen to our services on the phone, see me after service. We'll be glad to give that number to you. You can call the church later this week if you want to do that too. If you have access to our church website, wanting encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today, as well as the children's worship bulletins. Those are around in the windowsills. The children's worship bulletins were over here to my right. And then also the new prayer list is still not up there. We had some power flickering off and on this past week, and I've not been able to get back into Amy's computer to get that uploaded. So that is, that'll happen probably tomorrow when she is back in the office. So bear with us with that. We'll have the new prayer list. There is the old prayer list that is there under that info tab that you can download. We do have paper copies that are out here across from the offices if you want to grab one of those this morning. I also want to welcome those who are guests this morning. I want to encourage you, if you will, to pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage or at the door as you leave, as well as out here on the table as you leave. It's just a gift that we want to give to you. It has some information about our church, but some things that we want to say thank you so much for being here with us. There's a couple of children's bags. If there's some children here that want to grab those on your way out this door that have some kites in them, if you want to grab those too. But welcome this morning. Glad to have you with us. A lot of people are out this morning that are down in Alabama for a wedding. So we've got the backups. Is it the backups to the backups? I don't know. But Alan Johnson is going to come and lead us in our congregational singing. So, brother.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Isn't this a wonderful day the Lord's given us? Been in his house today. All right. If you will, please stand, turn to page 15 in your hymnals. And since it is such a blessing to be here, let's sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Amen. As you notice in your bulletin, we come to our missionary moment for the week. We have Steve and Jen Hagen, who are serving with our International Mission Board to reach the Asian Pacific Rim peoples. They're there in the Philippines, and God has used them to train and to disciple the Bogolot believers. As they've been working there since 2005, they have worked with the Agta people, which is another unreached people group there, another unreached tribe. And God has been using conversations that they've been having to lead people to faith in Christ. Those believers are growing, and those churches that they are starting are now sending out believers to share the gospel with their friends. And so it's a great story. I want to encourage you to take the time to read it there about this tribe that once brought death, wherever they went, have become passionate partners in the living, life-giving gospel. So we want to pray for Steve and Jen Hagen, for the Asian Pacific Rim's peoples, and all of our missionaries serving around this nation and the world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this day. Thank you for your presence with us, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will speak to us this morning in a powerful way. Lord, we come before you and ask that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sin, Lord, that there would be no hindrance in our relationship with you. So as your holy presence comes into our sinful lives, Lord, shine the light of your truth into the darkest crevices that we might confess anything that is sinful in our hearts, anything we have done against you, anything, Lord, that we have failed to do that you've commanded us to do, and Lord, whether that's in an action or whether that's even in our thoughts that we've done. So, Father, we ask for you to cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers this morning, because we especially want to lift up Steve and Jen Hagen as they are seeking to reach the Asian Pacific Rim peoples. Father, we just pray that you will bless them in a powerful way. Open up many opportunities as they continue to share the gospel. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the wonderful work that is already ongoing there. Those who used to bring death to people are now bringing the life-giving gospel to people. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to bless those peoples that the Hagans are reaching out to. And we pray for all of our missionaries serving internationally and around North America. We ask God that you will place a hedge of protection about them, watch over them, keep them safe in your arms, protect them, and bless every need that they have, Lord, and provide for them. We ask, Lord, for your will to be done as they are meeting in many places around this world today to bless their services as you bless our service. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to worship you in song and to hear from you through your word. And Lord, we pray that whatever burdens or cares we may have brought with us this morning, may we lay those at the foot of the cross. And Lord, may we leave today changed in our hearts and our lives. Whether we're a believer, may we be changed, Lord, to be encouraged in our walk with you. And Father, if we are not have not trusted by faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation for us. So we ask, Lord, for your will this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just remind you also that you can do your giving online. You can do your regular offering giving there. You can do your giving for the North American Mission Offering, the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. That goes 100% to missionaries across North America. You can do that online. You can do that in person. There are envelopes in places. The regular envelopes are in the pews in front of you. These for the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering are in the windows and at the tables as you leave this morning. So be sure to take the time to do that. You can do that online there. Just go to that far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab, easy platform there set up for you to do that. But do continue to pray for those North American missionaries and continue to read their stories if you've not. There are a few of these brochures that are still left around in a few of the windows here, so be sure to grab one of those. We had a great time yesterday with our disaster relief training. I think we had about 23, 25, including the two ladies that helped with the registration. Seven of those were from our church, and so we praise the Lord for that and the disaster relief training that went on yesterday. So we've got some people that are certified from our association as well as from our church that can go out on those call-outs for disaster relief. There will be some other trainings that will be coming up, so if you didn't get to come to this one, let us know if you still want to be involved in that, and we'll get you plugged in to the next one that will be available. And I heard and saw many of the pictures from the Women's Night of Worship that we had for the association down at First Baptist Estill Springs. Great turnout there. I think it was 223 ladies that were there for that, and what a wonderful time that was. I want to encourage you also to still be doing your Hoosier One cards. Those are down here at the front. You're just going to tear that blue piece off, write the name of the person you want to pray for who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We'll record that name to give a little little white card for others to pick up to pray for, but we're putting your blue cards. We've added some more this week to the cross over here. I think we're about 53 or so that are on the cross. I'll have to count them again to make sure. But want to encourage you to keep praying for your one as well as praying for other people's ones. And if you would like a more detailed 30-day prayer guide to be praying for your one, we have some of these down here on the front pew. Be sure to pick up one of those. The bottom half of that card that you're filling out has some scriptures there too that you can use to be praying for. And then don't forget the Bible app that we have there as a wonderful opportunity. You can scan this QR code that you see on the screen. You can just go to the app stores and search for the Bible app. It's the YouVersion Bible app there. And then the way to find our church there is you download the app, you tap the Discover button, you search for our church, which is one of the few churches in this area that are on the Bible app. So you should be able to find us pretty quickly, and then set our church as your church on the Bible app. And then there's a daily devotional there that we want to encourage you to sign up to just click on to and begin starting. We're going to be several months in the book of Ephesians. It's a 21-day Bible reading plan through the book of Ephesians. So if you started today or even started tomorrow, you would still be finished before we get done with the book of Ephesians. But want to encourage you to take the time to do that. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing of a tool that we have and a resource that we have to grow in our walk with the Lord. So Brother Allen, if you'll come and lead us.
All right, remain seated. Turn to your hymnals to number 142, There Is a Fountain.
Thank you.
All right, if you will stand on this next hymn, Children's Church will meet to my right, your left, and we will sing number 138, At Calvary.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Thank you, Miss Gail. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 7. I've entitled this message this morning, Have You Heard the News? Here's some news that I forgot to share earlier. We had some breakfast foods that were left over yesterday. We rewarmed those today and had some more that we added to it. If you want to take some home with you, stop by the fellowship hall. There's some biscuit and gravy and sausage back there, so I don't want to take that home with me. I'm trying to lose, not gain. So if you want to grab some of that as you leave this morning, be sure to do that. But Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse 1 down through verse 3. So would you stand with me, if you would, as we read God's word in honor of his word. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through verse 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would use your word, that it will go forth and not return void. Lord, show us the life-giving power of your word this morning. Lord, we pray that it would be used to change the hearts of those who may not have faith in Christ. Lord, that it may be used to encourage those who do. And Father, I pray that this morning we will be able to leave saying, yes, I have heard the good news of the gospel. And so, Father, I pray your blessings on your word, your blessings on us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, when you think about that question, have you heard the news? That question used to be a very simple question that called for a simple answer. But thanks to what is known as the internet, the information superhighway, that has become a very complicated question. I mean, you go to any news website on the internet, and you'll be bombarded with all kinds of a series of choices. It's not so simple to look up the news, because when you go to any news website, you have to make a decision. Do you want local news? Do you want national news? Do you want international news? Do you want financial news? Do you want political news? Do you want social news? Do you want medical news? And on and on and on and on it goes. And even then, you're not completely finished, because when you start to read what you're reading, you have to evaluate what you're reading or what you're hearing, because you know the saying, you can't believe everything you read in the newspaper, and now you can't believe everything you see on the internet. And so you have to do some investigating into the articles to make sure it is a legitimate article. You know, here's a couple of examples. These are a couple of extreme examples, but here's one from Abraham Lincoln. He said, don't believe everything you read on the internet just because there's a picture with a quote next to it. Abraham Lincoln. He didn't say that, did he? Or this one from Albert Einstein. I fear the day when people post memes on the internet with quotes I've never said. Didn't even know the internet was there. You know, there's so much content today online that it's impossible to consume all of that content and to fact check what you're reading to see whether it's true or if it's not. Even if you spent 24 hours every day trying to read and listen and watch everything, it's impossible. Not nearly impossible, it is impossible. There's a company that you'll see on the next slide here called Data Never Sleeps. And they did a thing called 11.0. They do this every year, and they've done it for the last decade, this study of every year of the internet population and what people on the internet are doing the most. And they take, as they say in that section there that you'll see, the pulse of our digital age, where every click, every swipe, every stream fuels an ever-expanding digital universe. They said in this article that these are not just numbers. These are the heartbeat of a world where data reigns supreme. They said what these numbers consistently show is that how we use data is always evolving, and that data is not slowing down. It is growing exponentially every year. In fact, let me just break it down to what happens in a single minute on the internet. Every minute, and this is from 2023, every minute, Taylor Swift fans stream a song 69.4 thousand times every single minute, and they just did that in the last minute I read that. Every minute, Facebook users like 4 million posts. Some of you did that. Every minute, Amazon shoppers spend $455,000 every minute. Every minute, X, or as it used to be known, Twitter users send 360,000 tweets. Every minute, Instagram users send 694,000 reels via direct message. Every minute, the average person produces 102 megabytes of data. Here's what they also said on the next slide here. They said that as of November 23, the internet represents 5.2 billion people, approximately 64.6% of the global population. They said, according to Statista, who does a lot of these research for them, the total amount of data predicted to be created, captured, copied, and consumed globally in 2023 is 120 zettabytes. You ever heard of zettabytes? We've heard of gigabytes and terabytes, but 120 zettabytes, a number projected to grow to 181 zettabytes by 25. And so when you think about all that content that's being created and all that news and some that's supposed to be news and stories, there's just too much content out there today online that it's impossible to consume it all, much less to know what's true and what's not. And that's why so many people get duped into believing things. You see something come across Facebook and you think, oh my gosh, so-and-so died today. And they're still alive, and somebody put out some meme that they were dead. You know, it makes it harder and harder to find out if something's true or not on the internet, but you still have to evaluate any news that you read or hear today because you can't believe everything that you see on the internet, online. As we come to the greatest news here, I'm afraid that's the way most people treat the gospel. A lot of people, they really haven't heard the news. Now, the gospel is both good news and bad news. And in verse 1 through verse 7 that we're going to be looking at this morning, we have what we call the gospel headline news. You notice that these verses, that verse 1 here of chapter 2 especially, begins with the word "and." So what does that tell us? If we're studying the scripture, we want to make sure we're understanding what the scripture is talking about. That little word is very important. Why? Because "and" tells us there that what we're about to read is connected to what we've already read or that has been written in the verses before. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 and verse 20, we see that the news was all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So verse 19 says this, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." He's speaking there about the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is more to this news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than just the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Because that news in and of itself is good news, but it's good news because of the bad news. It's good news because of the better news and because of the best news. So I want you to look at that as our outline for this morning. The bad news, the better news, and the best news. So first of all, what is the bad news? Here's the bad news. People are lost. They're lost in their sin. Now, I know that by saying people are lost in sin, that steps into many times today politically incorrect landmines. Some would say even spiritually incorrect. There was a well-known preacher out in California before he passed away a few years ago who once said this, "I don't think anything that has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity has proven more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelistic enterprise than the unchristian," he said, "uncouth strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition." Well-known minister. Well, if that's true, then the Apostle Paul himself was one of the most unchristian, uncouth individuals in history, because he gives us in these verses a devastating description of the spiritual condition of mankind that afflicts every person from the time that they're born. And so, first of all, Paul declares that we are spiritually dead. That's what verse 1 is saying. "And you were dead in trespasses and sin." Every person who comes into this world, who's born into this world, is DOA. You know what that means? Dead on arrival. They're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. Now, it's not that people are not on God's wavelength when they're born. The problem is deeper. The problem is that our antenna is completely down and they can't receive the signal. Every person without Jesus Christ is spiritually dead. So when you're born into this world, you're born into this world spiritually dead. And you see, we don't become spiritually dead because we sin. We're born spiritually dead because we're sinners. People don't become sinners because they sin. They sin because they're born sinners. There's one thing that is true of every one of us right now. Either you're dead or you were dead. Verse 1 here speaks either of your past or of your present. Now, that's sometimes hard for us to wrap our minds around, to understand this truth that we are born into this world in sin. And if we are born into this world in sin, we are born spiritually dead. So when we think about those little babies that we're holding, they are born into this world spiritually dead. Physically alive, beautiful babies, but spiritually they're dead. We can preach a whole nother message on children and those who, before that time that they begin to recognize their sinfulness, how do they become saved? And I've preached on that before, but I'd be glad to share that with you in a link later this week online to give you some more insight into that. But the truth is that we see here, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We see here that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are in essence a dead person walking. Every home without Jesus is a funeral home. Every person in that home without Jesus is a corpse spiritually. And every bed in that home that is slept in is a casket spiritually. We're spiritually dead apart from Christ. But notice it gets even worse. We're spiritually depraved. Paul says a person who is lost is controlled by three things. Notice as we go into verse 2, he says, you were dead in trespasses and sin in which you, who's he writing this to? He's writing this to a church, to believers at a church called Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And he's saying to these believers, you once walked in sin. You once were dead in your trespasses and sin, following the course of this world. So first of all, he tells us that we are spirit, when he's emphasizing here, we're spiritually depraved. We are controlled, a lost person is controlled by the world. So from the time you're born, if you don't trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you'll not only live in this world, you'll live for this world, and you'll think like this world. Now, there's only two ways that you can live and walk in this life. You can walk according to the Word of God, or you can walk according to the ways of the world. So don't be surprised by the way the world thinks or acts. It's just doing what comes naturally. A lost person is controlled by the world. Not only that, Paul goes on to say, lost people are controlled by the devil. Notice what else he says in verse 2. Not only are you following the course of this world, you're also following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who's the spirit of the power of the air he's talking about? It's the devil. Now, we may not think of that as a lost person this morning. I didn't think of that before I came to Christ, but the scripture tells me this, that I'm controlled by the devil. You see, the world teaches us to sin, but the devil will tempt you to sin. And you can look all around you and you can see all kinds of sins that are going on around us in this world. The devil's handiwork is in the lives of lost people everywhere, and you can see it by the path of destruction that it leaves behind. A lost person's life is controlled by the world, is controlled by the devil, and is also controlled by the flesh. Think about that for just a moment. Why would Paul say the flesh? I mean, he's already said, the devil made me do it, didn't he? That's what we want to say. The devil made me do it. That's the reason I do bad things. But now he says that we're controlled by the flesh. Notice verse 3. He says, among whom we all, among what? Among all this sons of disobedience, we all used to be sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Notice what he's saying here. The world will teach you to sin. The devil will tempt you to sin. But the flesh will take you to sin. You see, the lost person isn't just corrupted from the outside in. They're corrupted from the inside out. And I can assure you that we can sin just fine without any help from the world and without any help from the devil. In fact, one of the things when you get into biblical prophecy, and I will say at least this much to give you a little caveat on the side here, is that when you get to the book of Revelation and you find out that the devil and all of his angels, the demons are going to be cast into the bottomless pit and they're going to be placed in there for 1,000 years, this 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And then the Bible says, and he's going to be loosed for a season. I believe one of the reasons that he's cast into that bottomless pit is so that there is no more excuse for us to say, the devil made me do it. It's to point out the fact and to show you did it. You didn't have to have the world to teach you to sin or to make you sin. You didn't have to have the devil to make you to sin. You think of a little child. You don't have to teach a child how to lie, do you? You don't have to teach a child how to cheat. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. What you do have to teach them is you have to teach them how not to lie. You have to teach them how not to cheat. You have to teach them how not to steal, because that's their nature, Paul says. We are sinners by nature. We are born children of wrath. That's what he means there. And that if we stay that way, we never trust by faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will receive the wrath of God on us because of our sin. We're not born children of God. We're born children of wrath. We have to be born again to become children of God. That's the bad news. Every single one of us here this morning, you are either lost or you were lost. You are dead, or you were dead. That's the bad news. But the news gets better. You know, so often when we look at the news today, it seems like all they want to tell us about is all the bad things that are happening out there. But there's some good things that are happening. In the Gospels here, in the book of Ephesians, we see there's better news. Here's the better news. God is love. Look at verse 4. And verse 5. So verse 4 begins and says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we know the news is about to get better here in what Paul is telling us because of two words, but God. You ever thought about what a difference that little word, that little three-letter word makes? I mean, think about that statement. The phone rings and your son or your daughter is on the other end of the line and they say, Dad or Mom, I've been in a wreck. And immediately, it's like the lifeblood just flows out of you. You're like, oh my gosh, my child has been in an accident, in a wreck. But then you hear them say, but I'm okay. That word but makes all the difference in the world. The doctor says, you have cancer. We hate that word, don't we? We hate to hear that word. It's just don't even tell me that word. We don't want to talk about that word. But the doctor says, you have cancer. And your breath is literally taken away until he says, but it's completely curable and we've caught it in time. That but makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Think about this statement. My husband has lost his mind. But it wasn't a big loss. Samantha made me say that one. I pick on her sometimes. It kind of eases the pain, doesn't it? The bad news is that all of us at one time have been lost, and some still are. But the better news is what we read here in verse 4 and verse 5. Now, there are three great words in these verses that make the difference between heaven and hell. Here's what the three words are: love, mercy, and grace. Love, mercy, and grace. In love, we see the motivation of salvation. Love is the motive of salvation. So just as by our nature we are lost, so by nature God is love. And so before we could ever respond to God, first God responded to us with his love. In that while we were yet sinners, as Paul says here, while you were still trespassers in your sin, while you were still dead in your sin, God loved you before you could ever respond to him. We can have a relationship with God because of his great love with which he loved us. That's the motive of salvation. That's why God sent Jesus, because he loved us. Isn't that what John 3:16 tells us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's why God allowed Jesus to die on the cross, because he loved us. Here's another passage that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, they say love is blind. Well, God's love is not. God saw us with all of our flaws. God saw us with all of our failures. God saw us with all of our faults, and he still sent Jesus to die for us. I don't know what God saw in us, but thank God he saw something that nobody else could see. And I'm sure the devil probably said to him, I don't know what you see in that person. I don't see anything in them worth sending Jesus to die for. And you could just hear God say, do you know why you don't see anything in them? Because you don't love them like I love them. So we see love. We also see mercy in the mercy of salvation. We're told that God is, in verse 4, rich in mercy. You know, God is rich in so many ways. I mean, think about heaven and the description we have of heaven. The streets paved with gold, the gates that are made of pearl, the walls that are jasper. He owns everything in this universe, but thank God his wealth is not measured by mansions or materials, but by mercy. I'm so glad that the well of his mercy never runs dry. And the reach of his mercy never falls short. And that the light of his mercy never goes out. Thank God that because of his mercy, he does not give us what we deserve. I know what I deserve. You know what you deserve. But notice also the method of salvation in verse 5. He says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so the method of his salvation is grace. So we could come back to think about that we talked about just a brief moment ago about a little baby before they come to that point of realizing their sinfulness. How in the world do they get saved? How do they go to heaven? Same way you do. Same way Old Testament saints who didn't know Jesus by name, but they looked forward to the Messiah. They looked forward to the promised seed who was Jesus. And they trusted by faith in him, and they were saved by grace. Same way you're saved. Same way that little child goes to be with the Lord. Isn't that what David tells us? David said when his little baby was taken there at birth, he said, I can't go to, he can't come to me, but I can come, I can go to him. I'll be in heaven with him, is what he was saying. And so it's because of his grace that he's willing to give us the heaven that we don't deserve. And it's because of his love that he gives us his mercy and his grace. And so there's no reason for grace but grace. Because there is nothing in me, nothing in you that deserves God's favor. There is nothing in your life that you could stack up here and say, well, look at what I did. This deserves God's love. Because the Bible tells me that all of my righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Nothing. There is nothing I could do to ever earn God's love. Never anything I could do to earn his mercy or his grace. It's all by grace. The only reason that there's even one Christian on this planet is because of the grace of God. That's the better news. But I want you to see the best news this morning. The best news. Here's the best news in verse 6 and verse 7. Jesus is Lord. We're lost. God loves us. But Jesus is Lord. So look at verse 6, if you will. Talking about Christ, he raised us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then verse 6 goes on with the thought and says, and he has raised us up with him, talking about Jesus. He's raised us up with Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So think about what he's saying here. Because Jesus was born, we can be born again. Because Jesus died for our sin, we can die to our sin. And because Jesus was physically raised from the dead, we can be spiritually raised from the dead. In the remaining verses of this passage, we see what God has done for us because of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's one of the things we see in verse 5, is that through Jesus, we have spiritual regeneration. Notice he says there, we've been made alive together with Christ. So once you were dead, but now he makes you alive. Spiritually, you're regenerated. So because Jesus lives physically, we can now live spiritually in him. So first, that in him, somebody asked me about that this morning, that in him is this. First and foremost, it's knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that you are in him. You are resting in everything he did. It's not in your works that you're saved. It's in him completely. But not only is it salvation, it is walking that, living that daily, surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, because we still struggle as long as we live in this world. We are free from the power of sin over our lives as a Christian. You are free from the penalty of sin because Jesus paid for it on the cross. But as long as we're here on this earth, we will continue to be in the presence of sin. And so you're still going to have that struggle between the old nature and the new nature, doing things that are wrong and doing things that are right. And so every single day, even once you become a Christian, you have to continue to place yourself under the lordship of Christ, that I'm not going to do what I want to do today. I'm going to do what he wants me to do today. Lord, what do you want me to do today? you don't believe that? There's a lot of people who profess to know Christ, and they're doing everything they want to do. That's what Paul is saying here. As a Christian, that's not being in Christ. Being in Christ is doing what Christ wants you to do. And so Jesus died on the cross so that we could live. And because he lives, we can live eternally with him. And Jesus did for us the one thing that any dead person needs done for him. He has made us alive. You know, the only thing a dead person needs is life. They don't need money because they can't spend it. They don't need food because they can't eat it. They don't need water because they can't drink it. They don't need air because they can't breathe it. They don't need light because they can't see it. They don't need sound because they can't hear it. What they need is life. And even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, we can be alive because Jesus is alive. That's why the resurrection is so crucial for us. Because he lives, so can I live, and so can you live. So understand, Christianity is not a sick person getting well. Christianity is a dead person coming to life. It's a dead person coming to life. Through Jesus Christ, we have spiritual resurrection. That's what verse 6 begins and says. He raised us up with him. So when the Lord Jesus comes into a dead soul, he breathes into that soul the breath of eternal life. He makes you alive. And when he does, he doesn't leave you out in the graveyard. He brings you out of the grave and he raises you up. Now think about this. What we are dead in, sin, is what Jesus died for. And so just like God rolled away the stone, he can cast away our sin, and we can now live by his resurrection power. But the best news gets even better, because through Jesus, we can experience a spiritual reign. Because notice, he has raised us up with him, and what has he done? He has seated us with him. Now, you thought a while ago when we began this book in Ephesians, we said Paul refers to us as believers as saints. And we have a hard time comprehending because we know ourselves. How in the world could I be a saint if I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Because I know who I am. I know the thoughts I have. I know the deeds that I do. Now he says, not only are you a saint, you've been raised from the dead and you've been seated. Notice what he says. You've been seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where is Jesus right now? Well, he's in heavenly places. Where is he sitting? He's sitting on a throne. Where are we right now? We're in the heavenly places. And where are we sitting? We are sitting right next to him. You see why the news of the gospel is so wonderful? You are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. One day, you're physically going to be there. But spiritually, you're there right now. You have every spiritual blessing that he ever wanted to give to you. There's nothing more that you need to receive. He's already given you everything you'll ever need to be all that he wants you to be. But you are also with him now. You don't have to wait till heaven. Mount Whitney in California is the highest spot in the continental United States at 14,495 feet. If you hike to the top of that mountain, you'll be surrounded by crystal clear air, cool breezes, and beautiful lakes. But if you look 80 miles to the southeast, you'll see a place called Death Valley, the lowest spot in the continental United States at 280 feet below sea level. And the hottest place in the country with a record of 134 degrees in the shade. So you get this picture. Because Jesus is risen, you can go from the valley of spiritual death to the mountaintop of eternal life. And God wants to do all of this so that we might one day be his eternal trophies of grace. What does verse 7 say? So that in the coming ages, talking about eternity, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us. Think about that. You know who you are. You know the ugliness of your life. And yet God says, I love you. And that's why I sent my son Jesus to die for you. And when you trust in him by faith, he looks at you and he calls you a saint and he places you in heavenly places, seated right next to Jesus Christ at his throne. And he's saying here that one day, in the coming ages, I'm going to show the immeasurable riches of my grace that I showed to you. I'm going to show you off. Let me ask you this morning, have you heard the news? Did you know that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be in God's Hall of Fame? Someone wrote this poem. I never could figure out who the author of it was, but it said this: this crowd on earth, they soon forget the heroes of the past. They cheer like mad until you fall, and that's how long you last. But God does not forget, and in his hall of fame, by just believing in his son, inscribed, you'll find your name. I tell you, friends, I wouldn't trade my name, however small, inscribed up there beyond the stars in that celestial hall. For any famous name on earth or glory that they share, I'd rather be an unknown here and have my name up there. Praise God that we can have our name up there, that we can spend an eternity with Jesus because he is risen. Have you heard the wonderful news? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful message that Paul has shared with us, that yet, Lord, is still, as we have been looking at so far in the book of Ephesians, it seems so unbelievable. Lord, that you would love us, warts and all. You would love us with all of our faults, with all of our failures. Lord, you know everything about us, things that nobody else knows. Things that we've thought in our mind that were sinful, lusts that we've had in our hearts that no one else may have known. You know it, Lord. And yet you still loved us. What an awesome message, Lord. That there are those who are here this morning, I pray they have heard this, that they are not beyond your reach this morning. There's a reason they're here. There's a reason they've tuned in online, is because you want them to know the best news of all, that you love them and sent your son Jesus to die for them, that when they were dead in their trespasses and their sin, they could be made alive in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I pray there would be those this morning who've heard that message of the good news of the gospel, that you love them in spite of themselves. There's nothing they have to do to earn your grace. There's nothing they have to do to earn your mercy. There's nothing they have to do to earn your love. It's all been given freely because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sin debt. And so, Father, I pray this morning there would be those who would trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Father, they would call out to you and say, God, I believe this morning. I know from what the Word of God has told me, I am a sinner, because all of us are born into sin. And I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe he lived that perfect sinless life in my place. I believe he died on the cross in my place. And I believe he arose from the grave on the third day to give me eternal life. So, Father, send Jesus this morning into my heart and into my life to save me. And help me to live for you all the days of my life. Lord, I pray if there's those who's prayed something like that in their hearts this morning, may they come by faith to publicly profess that faith in Christ. Maybe there's others, Lord, who are here this morning as believers, but Lord, they've been living defeated Christian lives, not living in Christ, because they're so caught up in the things of this world. And they've lost their focus on you. And you're calling them to return to you this morning, to renew their heart, to renew their minds, to help them to grow in that walk with you. So Father, I pray they would come this morning. Maybe there are others, Lord, that you're leading to come and to become a part of this fellowship, to join the membership of this church. Lord, I pray that whatever needs to be done in this invitation, we give it to you, and we ask, Lord, for your will to be done. We ask, Lord, for you to take our lives and shower us, Lord, with your grace and your mercy and your love this morning. And may we as believers proclaim this message from the mountaintops that we once were dead, but now we are alive. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Lord, thank you that once I was lost, but now I'm saved. Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, number 301, I Am Resolved. Brother Allen's going to come and lead us, if you will. You come as we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, as the Lord lays on your heart to come this morning. Would you come? Would you stand? Seated for just a moment. Brother Mark's going to come and share our announcements.
Good morning. We do have a couple of announcements, and I guess, Dwayne, you might as well go first. You hiked the furthest there.
Let me remind you once again, on the 21st of this month, we're having a fish fry. We're trying to bring back a tradition. I know we used to have it on Memorial Day, but there's people are going to be out of town, and we want to have an opportunity for the whole congregation to fellowship, but not only just to fellowship, an opportunity to bring friends so you can sit down with a meal and have maybe a gospel conversation. So keep in mind, it is the 21st of this month. We need some help. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board back there. Also, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are fine, fine cooks with desserts, we would be glad to have them. I appreciate it. Think about coming and bring a friend.
Okay, Pastor Matt, you got something for us this morning?
If you have a child going to Central Kid Camp, could you please just raise your hand real quick? All right, so there's some in the balcony and out in the pews I hear, but if We are doing and starting our popcorn fundraiser today. And so we don't have any flyers to hand out, but a way that you can order is if you see one of the adults that raised their hand, you can see they can send you a link to purchase popcorn, and that popcorn can be delivered to your house. And so if you are interested in that, please be thinking of ways that you can, you know, help send out the information, passing it along. And we'll have some hard copies too, that you could fill forms out so that you don't have to do it online either. But also, on our for you see in the bulletin, it says Motlow BCM lunch the 22nd. That is not the same thing for feeding the baseball team, which is the 26th. So just wanted y'all to know that as well. But do remember about the BCM lunch on the 22nd. If you are able to, the baseball game for Motlow that we're going to be helping feed some of those baseball athletes is going to be at 1 o'clock that day. And so if you have an opportunity to be out there, you know, want to watch a game, help us hand out some boxes and just encourage students and, you know, perhaps even pray for them or with them, we would be glad to have you help us out with that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I would also call your attention in the bulletin, the banquet, the Deacon's Banquet for our widows, widowers, and those who live by themselves is this coming Saturday, 12 o'clock. So you should have received an invitation this week if you are one of those that would be invited to the banquet. And we need to confirm the number of people so that we can plan the food and so forth there. Also, if you are a wife of an active deacon, the wife, I should say, of an active deacon, as Dwayne suggested, delicious desserts would be in order for that occasion too. We do enjoy those. And Linda Smith is coordinating that. If you can contact Linda and let her know about that. And I believe that's all I have, unless anybody has anything further in closing. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you've taught us that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to you, no man cometh to spiritual life, as we've heard this morning, except through you. And we thank you for the knowledge of this. We thank you for the clear teaching in your scripture of how that can be done. And we thank you that your Spirit is spreading that message of hope and grace and love even today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to praise you and to sing your praises, to hear your word preached powerfully. And we pray your blessing on each one this week as we go from this place. Christ's name, amen.